وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ألا إلى الله تصير الأمور.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, and welcome to another episode of Fundamentals of Faith. In our previous episodes, we discussed the concept of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, or the unity of the Lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we discussed the evidences for this Tawheed and the categories that it has. Suppose, however, that someone were to believe in all of this, what we mentioned about Rububiyyah, that there is a Rabb, and that that Rabb is all-powerful and almighty, and He is the one who resurrects, and He is the one who gives life and death, and He is the one who nourishes and sustains. Is this belief in and of itself sufficient for him to be a Muslim? Is this sufficient for him to be considered a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and will therefore reward with paradise? If this were the case, then the vast majority of mankind would come under that category. Because the majority of religions, Christians, Jews, even Hindus, they believe in one supreme deity, one supreme creator. So obviously there's more to Tawheed than just Rububiyyah. And this is going to be our topic for today. So I hope you stay tuned. See you soon. Welcome back. Our topic for today is that Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, or the unity of Lordship of Allah, is not sufficient for a person to be considered a Muslim. It is not sufficient that a person acknowledges that there is a God and that this God created me and gives me life and death. This is because all of the religions of the world, or let me say majority of the religions of the world, believe in this concept. If you ask a Christian who created you, he will say God the Father. Who gives you your food? Who gives you your sustenance? God the Father. Same thing applies to the Jew. Same thing applies even to the Hindu. Even though he worships many gods and idols, he believes that there is one supreme God. He might call him Brahma or Krishna or Vishnu. They have different names. But they too believe that there is one supreme deity. So they acknowledge Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, at least in its broad essence. But obviously, that's not enough for them to be considered Muslims. So today we will prove that there is something more to Tawheed than Rububiyyah, and that Rububiyyah in and of itself is not sufficient. And perhaps the greatest way and the easiest way to prove this is to show that the pagans of the Prophet's time, the Arabs that the Prophet ﷺ was sent to, the Quraysh of Mecca that rejected him, they believed exactly in Rububiyyah. They believed in Allah, they called Him Allah, they used the name Allah. And they worshipped Allah. They didn't just worship that, they worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, they rejected him. They fought him. They tried to kill him. Why? Because he was preaching more than just Rububiyyah. He was preaching more than just the concept that there is a God and He must exist. What are some of the proofs that prove to us that the mushrikun of the Prophet's time, the mushrikun, the pagans, the Arabs that rejected the Prophet ﷺ, they actually believed in Allah? Well, there's many. We're going to mention five or six today. The first proof are the clear verses in the Quran which state that the Arabs of Jahiliyyah, by the way, the word Jahiliyyah, it is a time frame. Before the advent of the Prophet ﷺ, it is called Jahiliyyah, which means ignorance. It is called this because before the Prophet's time, there was no knowledge. The entire world, all of mankind, was in a state of ignorance. So that time frame is called Jahiliyyah, ignorance. So we're proving now that the Jahiliyyah Arabs, whom the Prophet ﷺ was sent to, they believed in Allah. And of the proofs for this is the fact that Allah mentions in the Quran explicit verses concerning this fact. Of them is the verse in Surah Al-Ankabut, verse 61. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you were to ask these people, if you were to ask the pagans and the mushrikun and the jahiliyyah Arabs, who created them? Man khalaqahu? They would say, Allah. The verse goes on, it says, who created the heavens and the earth? If you were to ask them who created the heavens and the earth and who subjected the sun and the moon to their orbits, they would say, Allah. The verse goes on, if you were to ask them who sends rain down from the skies and who brings the dead earth back to life, they would respond, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Quran explicitly mentions that the Jahiliyyah Arabs believed in Allah and that He is the Rabb, the one who gives life, the one who sends down rain. In yet another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ. If you were to ask them, who created you? لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهُ. They would say, Allah created us. And this is, Allah is the Rabb. They affirmed it. So this is a clear-cut proof that the Jahiliyyah Arabs, the Mushrikun, the pagans, the idol worshippers of the Prophet's time, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they believed in a Rabb. Yet another proof is the verse in Surah Al-Mu'minun, verses 84 to 89. Allah says, ask them, who does the earth belong to and all that is in it, if you really know? They will say, Allah. So ask them, why do you not remember Him? Then Allah says, ask them, who is the Rabb, the Lord of the heavens and the earth? رب السماوات السبع ورب العرش العظيم. Who is the Lord of the grand and majestic throne? They would respond, the mushrikun would respond, سيقولون الله. أفلا تتقون. Then why do you not fear Him? Then Allah says, ask them, in whose hands is the realm of all things? Who controls everything? And this is the height of rububiyyah. Allah is the Rabb, He controls everything. Ask them, who controls every atom of creation? And He protects you, while none can protect against Him. If Allah wills something, no one can protect you against Him. They will respond, Allah. So then ask them, why are you deluded? So these type of verses, and there are plenty, we have just quoted a few of them, they clearly and explicitly prove that the Arabs of old, that the Prophet ﷺ was sent to, they believed in Allah and they worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is yet another proof of this. And this is the verse mentioned in Surah Yusuf, verse 106. Akhi, if you can bring to me Tafsir al-Tabari, volume 6. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse that most of them, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ. Most of them, they have iman in Allah, but they also commit shirk in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakallah khair. So Surah Yusuf, sorry, volume 8, excuse me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse that most of them have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they do shirk with Him at the same time. Now Tafsir al-Tabari, if we remember, we talked about this before. Tafsir al-Tabari is compiled by Muhammad ibn Jarir al-Tabari, who died in the year 310 Hijrah. And this tafsir is the most encyclopedic work of the early scholars of Islam. Because in every single ayah, he'll quote you the ayah, and then he'll start narrating. This is the interpretation of one of the companions. Then he'll say, this interpretation of another companion. Then another. Then of the students of the companions. So you find that this is one of the main source books of tafsir, or the science of exegesis of the Quran. If you turn to Tafsir al-Tabari Surah Yusuf, verse 106, you find that the same verse, most of the mushrikun believe in Allah while they commit shirk with Him. We find that Ibn Abbas says, if you were to ask them who created them, they would say Allah. Yet they worship other than Allah. This is their problem. Likewise, Ata, one of the famous students of Ibn Abbas, and he died in the year 101, he said, their iman in Allah is that they believe that Allah created them and gives them sustenance. But their shirk is that they worship others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, other scholars and other interpretations say the exact same thing. Is that if you were to ask them, who created you? Who gives you sustenance? Who is the one who is your Lord? They would respond, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they worship, besides Allah, other beings. So the interpretation of this verse is that they have iman in Allah. Surah Yusuf, verse 106, they have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believe He is the Rabb. But along with that, they commit shirk with Him. They worship others besides Him. And this is clear-cut proof that the mushrikun believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet they worshipped others besides Him. So the problem was not their rububiyyah. They believed Him as the Rabb. Yet another evidence of this fact, that the Jahiliyyah Arabs, the mushrikun, believed in Allah, was the excuse that they used when they worshipped the idols. We all know that they had many idols, 365 idols only around the Kaaba. They had more than this in other places. But around the Kaaba, they would have 365 idols. Why did they worship these idols? Did they think that these rocks and stones were all powerful? That they created them? That they were the Rabb? No, never. Allah says in the Quran that they worship besides Allah that which neither can benefit them nor harm them. And they say, هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. These idols are our intercessors, intermediaries between us and Allah. So they would worship these idols, trying to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which shows you that they believed in Allah. And they believed Allah is the Rabb. And that is why they would use these rocks and stones to try to come closer to Allah. In yet another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they say, we only worship them in order that they, these idols, bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. This is the reason. We don't consider these rocks and stones to be our creators and gods. No. Rather, we intend to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We intend to become beloved to Allah by worshipping these intermediaries. So this clearly proves that the mushrikun believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they believed He was the Rabb as well. Yet another proof is the fact that when they were at times of need, they would call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, Surah An-Kabut, verse 65, that when they ride in the ships and they think they're going to drown, they say, our Rabb, our Lord, if you save us back to land, we will be amongst those who are thankful. And yet when they come back to land, they start associating others with Him. So the fact that they believed in Allah and they made dua to Him, they called out to Him, this shows you that they believed Allah is the most powerful, or else they would have called out to their idols. This is yet another proof that they believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the true Rabb, the all-powerful Rabb. We'll take a short break and we'll be right back inshallah, continuing in the same topic.
Remember, Inside Huda is a program specially designed for you, the viewers. A program in which I'll be taking you behind the scenes to see the making of episodes, to meet the presenters, the preparers, and all those who are in charge of keeping Huda TV the best Islamic channel. Today's show is all about one special program from a very special presenter, Inspirations.
Welcome back. We were discussing the proofs that the Arabs of the Prophet's time, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Quraysh and the Mushrikun of Mecca, they believed in the existence of a Rabb. Yet they were not considered Muslims. It wasn't just sufficient for them to believe in Allah and that He is the Rabb. There was something more than that, and that is why they were not considered Muslims. Of the evidences for this is the cry that the Jahiliyyah Arabs would say during Hajj. If you can give me volume 7-8 of Sahih Muslim, okay? What they would do, the Jahiliyyah Arabs, believe it or not, they would do Hajj. They had a Hajj. And this is because of Ibrahim alayhi salam. When he started the Hajj, the Jahiliyyah Arabs, they continued doing Hajj over and over again. Jazakallah khair. Throughout the centuries, they would do Hajj. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent, still some of the rites of Hajj were still being practiced by them. So they would have the talbiyah, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. They would say this because this is from the religion of Ibrahim. But it wouldn't be the same as our talbiyah. We turn to Sahih Muslim. Remember, Sahih Muslim is by Muslim ibn al-Hajjaj al-Naysapuri. He was one of the students of Bukhari. By the way, a very interesting thing. Obviously, Muslim is the main student of Imam al-Bukhari. The main student. Yet we find that he never narrated a single hadith in this book from Imam al-Bukhari. What is the reason behind this? Even though Imam Muslim loved Imam Bukhari more than he loved anyone else in the world, yet in his book, Sahih Muslim, he doesn't have a single hadith of Bukhari. Why? It's very simple. Because Muslim met most of the teachers of Bukhari as well. Therefore, he had no need to narrate from Bukhari when he could go directly to the teachers of Bukhari as well. Therefore, we find in his entire book, he never narrates from his Shaykh, Imam al-Bukhari. We find here in Kitab al-Hajj, the book of Hajj, that Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he narrates, the mushrikun would say, لَبَّيْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ, I respond to your call, O Allah, you have no partner. When they would say this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, stop here, don't continue, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew their talbiyah, that they would go on. He would say, stop here, don't continue. But then they would continue. And they say, you do have partners. إِلَّا شَرِيكًا تَمْلِكُهُ هُوَ لَكَ. You have partners whom you control. You have partners whom you control, and you own that which they own. How does this prove our point? It proves our point in that they affirmed Allah is the Rabb. And then they said, O Allah, you have no partners except partners who are under your control, under your rububiyyah. So their talbiyah would be to Allah, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Then they would say, illa sharikan, except a partner. You do have some partners, but these partners are not all powerful. They are not rubs. They are partners whom you control, and you own that which they own. So this clearly proves that the Jahiliyyah Arabs of old believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believed He is all-powerful, that He is the Rabb, and that He is the one who created them and resurrected them. That's why do Hajj for Him. All of these points prove that the Jahiliyyah Arabs believed in Allah and worshipped Him. Despite this recognition, were they Muslims? Of course not. Did they believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Of course not. Instead, they opposed him. They fought him. They expelled him from Mecca. And they went into battle with him more than one time. So the question comes, why? Why is not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam calling them to believe in Allah? And they already believe in Allah. Is he not telling them to worship Allah and they are worshipping Allah? Is he not calling them to acknowledge the fact that Allah is the Rabb and they acknowledge this fact? So why the opposition? Why the enmity? Why the hatred? Because, and this is the key point, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was calling to more than rububiyyah, more than lordship. And that is why the mushrikun put their foot down. That is why they said, we cannot accept this person. Rububiyyah alone, lordship alone was not sufficient. It was not enough for them to be considered Muslims. The problem came when the mushrikun directed acts of worship to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was their problem. Uluhiyyah, the unity of worship. Rububiyyah, lordship, everyone's fine. The Muslims and the mushrikun, pretty much the same beliefs. Allah is the Rabb, He is the creator, He is the sustainer. But the problem comes, we worship Allah and Allah alone. Whereas the mushrikun, they worship Allah and others along with Allah. Because of this, they rejected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them in the Quran that this belief does not make any sense. Contradictory. If Allah created you, if He sustains you, if He responds to your dua, if He will resurrect you, if He is all-powerful, then why do you worship other than Him? Why do you make your dua, your prostrations? Why do you devote your energies to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In one series of verses, a very beautiful series, Surah An-Naml, verses 59 to 64, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that ask them, is not the one who created the heavens and the earth and sent down for you rain from the skies, causing to grow beautiful gardens, is He not greater than others? Is He not more worthy of worship? Is there any God besides Allah? Is there any object of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Rather, they are a people who ascribe partners to Him. Ask them, is not the one, أَمَّنْ جَعَلَ الْأَرْضُ قَرَارًا, is not the one who made the earth a stable ground, and He placed within it rivers, and He set mountains firmly, and He put a barrier between the two seas, is He not worthy of worship besides others? أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ, is there an object worthy of worship besides Allah? Then ask them, how is it that most of them do not know? Then says, ask them, is not the one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, ask them, is not the one who responds to the plea of the one who is in distress? even the mushrik, the jahili Arab, and the Muslim, when they're in distress, they call out to Allah. So why, when you're not in distress, do you call out to other than Allah? Is not the one who responds to the plea of the one who calls out and removes evil from you, he removes afflictions from you, is he not worthy of worship besides others? Is there a God besides Allah that you worship? أَإِلَهُمَّ اللَّهُ Then why do you not think over this point? Is not the one, أَمَّنْ يَهْدِيكُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ Is not the one who guides you in the darkness of the land and the sea, and who sends down winds as good tidings for, and who sends the winds as good tidings for his mercy, is not he better than others? Is there a deity or an object worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then Allah is exalted above that which they do shirk with him. And then Allah says, is not the one who begins the creation and repeats it. He began the creation and he will repeat it again on resurrection day. And who provides for you from the heavens and earth, is there one equal to him? A'ilahum ma'allah? Is there a God that you worship besides him? Show me your evidence if you are truthful. And on and on and on. The point of these series of verses is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is challenging the Jahilis, Arabs, and those after them who believe in Allah. If you go to the Christian, he says, God the Father created me. So ask him, why do you worship other than him? If you go to the Hindu, he'll say, yes, the main creator is Vishnu or Krishna or Brahma. They have different names, different sects. They have different names. So ask them, well, then why do you worship other than him? And this is the irony of it. This is the irony of the fact that most of mankind believe in one supreme God, one Rabb. Every religion believes in a Rabb. But what is the decisive difference between us, the Muslims, and everyone else, the non-Muslims? It is not just rububiyyah. It is the fact that we worship Allah alone, the uluhiyyah, the unity of worship. And this is the subject of today. So to summarize, the Jahili Arabs, they fully believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They fully believed him as a Rabb by name. They used to say, Ya Allah. They believed in him as the creator, the sustainer, the nourisher. Yet they rejected Islam. They rejected the Tawheed that the Prophet ﷺ came with. Why? Because he came with more than just Rububiyyah. And that will be the topic of next lesson, is that the details and the categories and the importance of Uluhiyyah. If there are any questions related to this topic, we'll take them now, inshallah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems very clear that the Jahiliya Arabs, they believed in Rububiyyah and all this. So is there anyone that denies this or disagrees with this?
Let me rephrase your question. Perhaps you're trying to say, how come I went into so much detail regarding this fact if it seems so simple? Oh. The fact of the matter is that, believe it or not, yes, there are people who actually deny the fact that the Jahiliya Arabs believed in Allah. Oh. And these are the people who worship others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and claim to be Muslims. Because they realize that if they were to affirm that the Jahili Arabs believed in Allah, if they were to affirm this, then they would automatically confess against themselves that they're committing shirk. So the fact of the matter is that those people who worship, for example, graves or saints, and we're going to talk about this in the next lessons, those who go to the graves of quote-unquote holy people and make dua to them or fall down in prostration, this group of people, they deny this fact. Because if they were to acknowledge it, they would be acknowledging that they are doing the same thing as the Jahili Arabs would be doing. Because they believe in Allah, just like the Jahili Arabs did. But they don't worship Him alone. They go through intermediaries and channels, like the Jahili Arabs went through intermediaries and channels. Therefore, we had to go into detail, proving the fact that the Jahili Arabs believed in Allah, but their problem was worshipping Him alone. Inshallah, in the next lesson, we'll continue with regards to uluhiyyah and the importance of directing all our acts of worship to Allah and only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.